What do you do with an arts degree? I'm still not sure I know. I skipped 3 years worth of lectures just to binge watch your full shows. There must be some scholarship for accruing worthless knowledge. It's my only talent, honey. That and losing money. Let your excess hex debts rest and then just join us while we start on our
Welcome back to the Bachelor of Hearts podcast, the F-Boy Island Australia podcast that asks the question, tantrum yoga? That's real? I googled it and it's real? It's not just like a pun on tantric, that's a real thing. People have been doing it for years.
I did not know that this was true. I googled it on the spot and was just blown away. And I thought, why have I never done this? Why have I never taken myself down to the beach for a scream?
I think the reason is because you have a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I scream into the void.
You get a lot of that energy out here, yeah. Hello, my name's Xavier Obetsky Noonan. I love The Bachelor. My kink is reality TV recap podcasts. The fucking AirPods stay on during sex. And I hate the coronavirus. And joining me, as always, is my co-host with the mo-host, Mr. Max Quinn. How are you doing, Maxie?
Hello. Hi, Xavi. Hi, listeners. Before we get any further into the pod, I want to remind you that we are recording on the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. This always was, this always will be Aboriginal land. We want to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and say hi to you if you are a First Nations BOH pod listener. Thank you so much for being here. Xavi, to answer your question, I'm fucking fantastic. I'm so excited to talk about these two pretty good episodes of F-Boy Island.
I think I agree these episodes were pretty good. I don't think they really, like, I don't know how they were supposed to, but I don't know if they hit the heights. I don't know if they quite met the expectations of last week's incredible cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah. This is the folly of reality TV when it comes down to the final, say, three or four contestants. And I don't think that this show is immune from that. It just gets a little bit slower toward the end.
Yeah, and I'm also curious about, because I feel like this, we'll talk about more as we go on, but this format could be rewarding until the end. Based on the fact that it's not necessarily about, like, will this relationship work on the outside? You know, are we going to be together forever? That kind of thing. Because the stakes are a bit lower, I could see, and obviously if the show had not broken in half halfway through,
right?
We might be, like, a little safer here. I think we maybe didn't land on an incredibly interesting place in these two episodes.
I think that's pretty true, but I also had fun the entire way through, so
me too. Definitely plenty of good shit, because the balance is just right, you know, like even when it's not fourth wall breaking, you know, extravaganza or whatever, you're still having a great time. Before we talk too much about our newly beloved show F-Boy Island Australia, I think it makes sense for us to dive back into the icy cold waters of our distant lover. Two metaphors there, and they both intertwine just perfectly. Maybe I'm thinking
ice
about
is
the
getting
submarine.
Thinner.
Yeah. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. Back into a segment we call the Batch World Catch Up.
Thought you were going to a boat world float up there.
No, I shouldn't do water stuff in and around The Bachelor. It's just getting too confusing.
Let's dive in.
Let's dive in. Look, Max, there's only one story that matters this week. I am not interested in talking about Jimmy Nicholson and Holly Kingston's staged photo shoots commemorating their respective hens and bucks nights.
Yikes.
Bachelor.
Wait,
and
they
bachelor.
Got engaged?
They're engaged. Yeah, they're getting married kind of soon.
Oh, good for them.
Sure. Yeah.
I suppose.
I think we maybe talked about this already. I could be wrong.
They're not memorable.
Weirdly, don't care, even though that's a successful recent bachelor couple. And, you know, the hens and bucks nights, bachelor and bachelorette parties, though they may have been. We'll not get a featured moment here on this Batch World Catch-Up. I have nothing to tell you about the Daily Mail's just published article slash attack piece, which boasts the characteristically interminable headline, quote, "Broken relationships, a failed business, addiction to cosmetic surgery, and dwindling fame. The downfall of Bachelor star Kira Maguire as she faces court on assault charges."
We talked about it already.
It's just a bit much that they're doing, like, guess what? It's not just this. Everything in this woman's life is fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready for a fucking mudslide?
Right. I will not add my two cents to Thomas Meliucelli's proud Instagram story exhibition of his presumably annual Isagenix stakeholders retreat. I am dutifully cataloging faces and names of those present. A lot of documents left out on the table in full view of the photos. And I'm like, whatever's in there is troubling.
What can I zoom in on?
Right. I did a little clicking around. Nothing to report. Not wasting any time of it on it.
What do you got for me?
Crocodile does... What is it? What's that? Oh, never mind.
Crocodile does...
In far north Queensland.
Oh, yeah.
The flowers bloom. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
This week belongs to one man. One titan of industry who stands alone, or more accurately, stands right next to Julia Morris as the subject of today's Batch World catch-up. Any guesses,
Dr.
Max
Quinn? Dr. Chris Brown?
No, not this time. Although, he's always rumored, actually, as a potential bachelor.
He is. He is always rumored as a potential bachelor. So, Dr. Chris Brown standing next to Julia Morris.
The Julia Morris thing might throw you off a little.
Is it fucking Wazza?
It's not fucking Wazza. Think bigger. Think one man. You know, I say this
Matthew Johnson.
With honesty. Even bigger. A more crucial part of this television program.
Big O?
This man is the long-standing and honestly pretty cool host of the Australian Bachelor Universe.
One out of three. Got him.
The one and only Usher Ginsberg. And why, I hear you ask, why does he stand atop News Mountain glaring down at his loyal subjects, knowing full well it is only the adulation and fealty of those mere peons that prevents him from crushing them like bugs.
Extra, extra.
Usher Ginsberg has this week, for the first time ever, been nominated for Australian television's highest honour, the Holy Grail, the Tenacious D birthmark that enshrines a precious few into the history books of TV's most popular personalities for all time. The coveted Gold Logie.
This is his first nom.
That's right.
I can't believe that.
Isn't that wild?
This man has been such a crucial part of our lives for going on 15 years, and he's always been good, we should say.
Yes, I agree. He's always been good, and I think he's always been going for that Gold Logie. I think he wants this back.
I think he wants it too. I think that this would be a huge, huge win for Osher and a Lifetime Achievement Award, if nothing else.
Right. And I am jesting a little with my inflation of the importance of this award, but I can sense that it would mean a great deal to him. And so I'm on board with that.
That's fantastic. Look, I really hope that Osher gets it over the line. What do I need to do? How do I support this man?
Well, here's the thing. So contending against him are false idols, imposters, and pretenders to the throne. The previously mentioned Julia Morris is up for her second Gold Logie.
Boo.
Great on Taskmaster, but get out of here. Plus one-time Bachelor guest / Misfit Clown Prince of Crime, Hamish Blake. Remember when he was on the show?
I do. I do remember when he was on The Bachelor. Hamish Blake has done this before. I don't know that we need more Hamish in our lives.
It is funny that it's like, yes, my gut reaction to Hamish Blake is like, he's had his flowers. He's a very successful, he cannot not be successful in the Australian TV landscape. It basically orbits around him. And then I realize that I am barracking for Osher Ginsberg, who definitely say the same thing about him. As well as Lee Sales, Sean McAuliffe, Sonia Kruger, and Mark Coles Smith.
Oh, who's who of who's that?
It's a pretty, I mean, look, if you care about television, this is a pretty star-studded lineup. Thankfully, I don't. But it is now in the hands of Gunsberg. Oh, it's the first time I've mispronounced his name in like a long time.
Wow.
Wow. It is now in the hands of Ginsburg's adoring public to vote to chisel his name into the marble of historic record so that generations from now, our descendants will find a shred of hope in the memory and the sheer possibility that there was once a man who had nice hair and didn't eat animals.
How nice.
Returning to Sydney for the first time since 1986, the 63rd TV Week Logie Awards will be broadcast on Channel 7 and 7 Plus on Sunday, 30th of July. Voting for all popular awards is open now, and for the first time ever, voting for the TV Week Gold Logie will remain open during the ceremony until 10:30 p.m. AEST. I can only assume that that means we're going to see some stunts. We're going to see red carpet, you know, like...
Flips.
We're gonna see, yeah. Is he going to kiss babies? Is he, you know... Who's Julia Morris going to be handing out, like, you know, diamond necklaces to all the vote, you know. Well, no.
I want a diamond necklace.
Yeah, it's not a selection body. It's everyone. So, she, you know, they need to be making their case on the TV.
Yeah, and everybody is beautiful.
Right. I am excited about this. I almost feel like we should cover the Gold Logie Award, you know, every episode between now and then also maybe do a big, you know, like award season. We'll be talking about how everyone's making a case for themselves. Well, everyone's for your considerations, you know?
I think that that's a really, really good idea. I am willing to put on my investigative journalist hat.
Yeah.
And we can start to dive deeper into these candidates as
we
move forward
on
the
BOH
pod.
Yeah. See what's going on. That is huge, of course. We are very excited for Osha, who, of course, has been very nice and just said, like, oh, you know, it's just an honor to be nominated. And, good for him.
Now, you said that there was only one item of news this week.
Yeah, well, I skipped a couple there because I figured that was, so, you know, we've been talking about Osha Ginsburg for 100,000 years on this podcast.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to touch on that. And then all that other stuff seems pretty... you know, no shade to what the Daily Mail, but I don't think anything else needs to really be picked up on as far as I know.
Look, I appreciate that you have gone to this extent to write out all of this information, but I have so many news items that I would like to raise.
I just want to clarify, I did not write anything, in solidarity with the writers' strikes. That was all off the top of my dome.
Okay. All right. Well, look, here's some information for you. Coming in hot off the presses, Yvonne from Ali's season of The Bachelorette.
Yes.
He's in LA, and guess what? He says traffic is fucked.
Oh, no!
You wouldn't believe this. Tilly Skok is out going on a morning trot in her Nike runwear.
I wouldn't
so
believe
there's that
from Tilly Skok.
Do you remember Luke McGregor? He was on Bachelor in Paradise and he ended up with Lisa and then they split up.
That's right. Yes. Unforgettable. What have you got
he
to say about
has him? Had just done an ice bath.
Oh, the challenge? Or no, it's a bit late for that.
It's about a decade late for that one.
Maybe it was just sitting in his uploads, like, you know, he was out of Wi-Fi signal at the time. And
yeah, for a decade. I mean, he was on a bureau in Fiji, so it makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Well, I hope that the ALS charity sees just a little bump in 2023. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's back on, baby.
We are back. Luke, whatever his name is.
McGregor?
McGregor.
Yeah.
Is sitting in an ice bath in public for some reason.
Huge. Amazing. This is great. Yeah.
So, look, obviously, you missed a few things.
I'm so glad that I have you to vacuum up the crumbs, Max Quinn.
That's what I do. I hoover.
Speaking of crumbs, there's no segue into this next thing. I was going to say, like, oh, crumbs, something bad has happened. But it's actually considerably more serious than that.
Oh, no.
And in fact, look, we're getting into talking about something that's happening kind of now or in the recent past about one of the contestants on the season of TV that we came here to talk about today, F-Boy Island. Australia, in a segment that... unfortunately, has got a funny name, despite the fact that this is going to be a serious topic. The boy world F up.
F up, F up, F up.
And it is so named because one of these boys really effed up.
Well, tell me what's happened here. I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so just really briefly, and I do mean this seriously, a content warning. This segment and most likely episode will contain brief discussions of domestic violence.
Oh, no.
If you or a loved one is experiencing domestic violence, there's help available through services like White Ribbon Australia and Lifeline. And if you don't like hearing about it, then I'm very sorry for what we're about to talk about on this segment.
Fuck, which one of these boys is effed up?
So Dramatic are reporting that F-Boy Island Australia contestant Justin McNan was previously accused of domestic violence against his ex-wife. So Dramatic's source claims that he and his Estonian wife met online and were married shortly after, but the relationship didn't last, and McNan was then made to pay damages. Quote, essentially, Estonia's national prosecution found that there is sufficient and strong evidence to go to court, but due to him now being in Australia and not a threat to the victim anymore, taking it to court has low public interest and is not worth it. Prosecutors ended criminal proceedings against Justin McNan due to lack of public interest in the proceedings, but at the same time admit that the man was guilty of physical abuse in a close relationship, end quote.
Jeez.
So Dramatic's article also shares claims of animal abuse by McNan, who allegedly took his ex-partner's cats to a shelter without her consent. Really, really, really bad and scary stuff. Basically, that quote seems to imply, and I don't know, I'm not commenting on this legal matter or anything, but there was legal trouble in Estonia where the marriage was based, and then he left. I can say that, not necessarily as a causation, you know, as just correlationally.
I don't think that either of those things, right? Like, I don't think they have to be correlated.
No, he just was there and there was some legal trouble and then he went to Australia. I'm just laying out the timeline. And then the legal trouble kind of went away because he was no longer in Estonia. Pretty bad.
Jeez.
So Dramatic contacted Binge to ascertain whether appropriate background checks had been made for their contestants. Because as you can imagine, some questions were raised about their practices. And Binge provided this quote, which we can pull apart a little bit if we want to. Quote, our production partner for F-Boy Island Australia, Warner Brothers International Television Production Australia, has a thorough screening process, which includes police checks, psychological tests, and an extensive interview process to ensure there is a safe environment on the show for all contestants and production staff. In the case of this contestant, we became aware after production commenced of a historic matter when he resided overseas. In reviewing the issue, we have confirmed there were no charges against the individual, end quote.
Fuck.
So, because there were no charges, it's a non-issue, I think is what I get from that quote, which does not make me feel great.
It's one of those really, really tough lines to walk as a broadcaster, I suppose, or as a network where you're like, look, we were filming already and right. It would have been too expensive, quite frankly, to do the whole thing over.
I don't know what they're meant to do in a situation like this. It's obviously not their fault that he did this.
But then also, like, can you remove him from the show? Are you legally allowed to do that? What during filming, like, what recourse do you have, particularly if, as we learn, he's going to make it to the end of the show?
Right. And like, is it possible to like scrub him out or whatever, or edit around him or something? I would argue maybe not. It seems like this show is so it's not like he is like we would really feel the loss of his character arc or whatever, but it's just
he's not a particularly compelling character.
No, but everybody is sort of very intermingled, and you know, the people, you know, his relationships to other people inform other people's relationships and that kind of thing. You know, like, we're in a tight little environment here.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about Justin entering as the type of man that he entered as a little later in the podcast. Maybe it is time to move into our episode recap. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's funny is that we did talk about the order of segments on this episode, and up next is the Bechdel boys. So let's stop talking about these boys. Maybe it'll be good for us, you know?
Yep.
Because I think that casts a bit of a shadow over the proceedings, and maybe it'd be nice to just stop thinking about the kinds of terrible thing that men do all the time. And instead go as long as possible talking about the women without invoking these boys at all in a segment we call The Bechdel Boys.
You're listening to The Bechdel Boys on the Bachelor of Hearts podcast. No girls allowed.
So again, just the no girls allowed thing really gets me. Max, you want to go first?
Yeah, I do. And I don't have anything to say, to be honest with you.
Not a great
this was a bleak week for the Bechdel Boys. My truth is that I watched these episodes intently, waiting for opportunities to make observations about these women that were not related to the men. But all of their scenes of dialogue are either with the men or with each other talking about the men. And so I think the show failed the Bechdel test this week, and I found it so, so difficult to pull out even a crumb, to use podcast parlance, of information about these women that was not related to how I perceived them in relation to the men.
Yeah, I started, because I rewatched these episodes and I started going like, now let's view it through this lens, right? First time I'm just sitting down being like, what's going to happen? Second time I'm like, how does this fit in? And my notes that I took were like, Sophie does some experimentation with her hair this week. we get some pigtails, there's a high ponytail, there's a space bun moment. And then I'm like, is us commenting on the women's appearance any better than talking about their relationships to the men? You know?
It's a flat no.
I think it's not, isn't it? You know?
No.
Is the Bechdel test a perfect system? No, but it is really showing some... The show is not interested in passing the Bechdel test, you know?
No, of course not. It's called F-Boy Island. We've talked about it. I feel like maybe this is our shortest Bechdel Boys ever.
Yeah. Ziara, I absolutely have nothing. Molly, I'm like, due to things that she is experiencing with the fellas, it makes me reflect on her personality. But then I'm also like, I can't make generalizations because all I know is her within this structure, you know? So I'm 100%. Like, if I want to say, it seems to me that Molly can be trusting to a fault, you know, like she may be the type of person who has trouble fighting her inhibitions, maybe a little divided on what she wants. But I'm only saying that because of the evidence I've been given with how she deals with the men. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And because we know that she enters with this narrative of she was engaged and then she found her partner cheating on her.
Right. So I think we can probably toss all of that out. Kind of a non-Bechdel Boys week. It is what it is. Sometimes you come up with a segment for your podcast and you want to keep doing it even when the show doesn't really allow for it.
You're listening to the Bechdel Boys on the Bachelor of Hearts podcast. No girls allowed.
Maybe you were right when you added the no girls allowed, you know? look, last week we left you on a cliffhanger, right?
We did.
We're all chomping at the bit. Everyone who's listening to this probably watched the TV show, but this is how we have to start our episode. You know, this is the thing that's going to inform everything to come. We left scratching our heads and wondering as they were just about to reveal who were the nice guys and who were the F-boys once and for all. Where does everyone stand?
And of course, this comes in context. Molly has had two men reveal their status to her. And so the show, the production team have gone, well, let's burn it down. Now everyone's status needs to be out in the open. And we hope that this makes for good drama because otherwise it creates an unfair playing field for particularly the other women.
Right. It kind of has to happen. And it's such an exciting place to begin from. Let's do it. Let's talk about these reveals.
Excellent.
I'm going to go woman by woman. And we're going to go,
Let's just talk about each of these men. And look, if we find out that a guy is, let's say, an F-boy or a nice guy, if there's a sound that happens that someone prepared late at night last night under a significant time constraint.
I didn't ask you to do these ones, by the way. cool. All right. Well, let's talk about Sophie. And Sophie's first reveal is the kind of obvious F-boy who has a secret F-girl. That's not fair to say, right? I don't want to cast any aspersions on whoever this secret girlfriend is. We're talking, of course, about F-boy Clay. You've clicked a file labeled F-boy. I can see it on the... Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's... Yep.
And then, surprise, we learned that a guy who we probably thought was pretty good, but turns out to be an F-boy, is Joshy. Can I ask how late at night this was?
10:49 p.m.
Oh, I really thought it was going to be like, oh, it was like 3:30 a.m. This was all, you know. Very good. We learn also that there are some good boys in the bunch for Sophie. Are we going one by one, or can I say both of them? Okay. Well, up next is Benny. What is the difference? Max. What? You put auto-tune on the F-boy one, you didn't put auto-tune on the non-F-boy one, right? Is that right? Am I missing something? You can tell me.
No, you got it.
Okay, great. Okay, fantastic. What a good podcast. And also, Sophie's other nice guy is Justin. Uh-huh. Yeah, a guy we've heard nothing but good things about in the recent past.
Yep.
More on that later. So Sophie's got two and two. Let's talk about Ziara. Ziara has got, I mean, this should surprise nobody, an F-boy who we've kind of known about since day one. His name's Caleb. And then, I'm going to cut down on these sound effects. I'm going to say her next three are all nice guys. We got Corey, Isaiah, and a guy called Josh, who we all know who he is. Mm. You opened it up again. You were going to play it three times in a row, weren't you? You son of a bitch. Okay, and then Molly. I think we know half of Molly's already. Obviously, we got F-boy Vernon. We got nice guy Nick. And then we got two more F-boys, Sean and Ben. Okay, great. Are you happy? Are you happy, Max?
I'm so happy.
You're grinning from ear to ear. I think
I'm so happy.
Both of us are having a good time.
I've done a fantastic job with this.
You can give the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and you know, share it with a friend and stuff if you like. So there's no elimination after the reveals. We get all this info dumped on us, and then that's it for now. Everyone's got a little time to simmer down. We begin to see the nice guys and F-boys are being socially segregated at this point.
Yeah.
They don't want to have anything to do with each other. So we've got two groups of six, and the name of the game has shifted, you know? Now it is more focused on seeing whether the F-boys can be reformed.
It's almost like, can the F-boys be reformed? And can the F-boys coerce the women into believing that they are reformed?
Right, right. And I like this in theory. I think we're kind of already seeing the like paper thin veneer of the F boy nice guy dichotomy
absolutely
revealed, and sort of, you know, we're seeing it for all it's worth. It feels a bit arbitrary, and I also feel like at this point we're quite deep in the season, there's not quite enough runway, and you know, it's fine, because like I don't think it's the tone of the show to like dig into this seriously. But yeah, I think it would be good to see a little more digging into like why these guys thought they could pass as nice, or like how they define an F-boy or a nice guy in opposition to what they are, you know, that kind of thing.
This is going to lead really, really nicely into my F-boy of the week. Xavier, do you want to do that now?
Yes, that sounds great. Let's do it.
Oh, fuck. F-boy of the week.
So my F-boy of the week this week is Benny, one of our self-proclaimed nice guys. And this continues a trend for us of multiple weeks in a row where men have revealed themselves to be nice guys who I am awarding as the F-boy of the week because they have, in their own ways, behaved as F-boys. Like,
right.
If you think about last week, Darcy with the chicken, whether it's this week, it's Benny fighting against Justin, you have entered as nice guys. Why are you acting like such a fucking goose? Like,
yeah, just don't be a dick is a real, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I want to sort of look at that through like the lens of who we got wrong to begin with in terms of our predictions at the end of last episode. And so we got, I think there were like, 12 total men. Mm-hmm. And we got 4 wrong. Mm-hmm. 2 were freebies. So of the 10 that we didn't know, we're shooting only 6 out of 10.
It's not great, is it?
And it's not great. But here's the thing, right? Sean, Ben, and Joshy were all revealed as F-boys. And we thought that they would be nice guys. Mm. And Benny, we thought was an F-boy, but came to light as a nice guy.
Right.
Xavi, my first question here, before we get back to Benny, is our nice guy radar in need of repair?
It's a great question. I think, honestly, this just points to, obviously, we're perfect. We've never been wrong about anything. And I
never,
think,
ever.
With that in mind, we can understand what's going on here, which is that the F-boy, nice guy thing, they're kind of just names for whether or not they decided before they came on the show if they would take all the money or not take all the money. Like that's all it actually is, you know?
I agree. Yeah, those are the coded semiotics of the whole thing. My broader question for the viewing public is, like, is this where our barometer of what a nice guy represents? Like, is that where we are, you know? Like, because firstly, feel sad for Sophie and Ziara and Molly, but then flawed as they each may be. But then also, like, I think to a certain extent, the men who present and volunteer as nice guys are maybe even more dangerous interpersonally than the men who readily identify as a fuckboy. Like, a fuckboy. Yeah.
It's the sheep's clothing. Identical.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so now as to what Benny did, right? He's entered as a nice guy. And under those auspices, he approaches his fellow nice guy, Justin, to have a confrontation. To begin with, not nice guy behavior. He wants to fight Justin over something that is super, super petty, which is that in the first episode, Justin had said to one of the other boys, yeah, I'm not really into any of these women.
Yeah.
And we have to assume at this point that it is weeks ago and that Benny has been holding on to this piece of information. He's tried to pick this fight before and he's now trying to pick it again. And I don't understand, like, why it is necessary for him to do this at this time. I don't understand what sense of, like, misguided chivalry or valor that he thinks that he is operating under. I just think that he comes across looking possessive and looking like a gronk. Like, there's nothing endearing about this. And it makes me question Benny to the extent that I don't think that he is a nice guy.
That's very interesting. I will have more to say about Benny. I'm biting my tongue right now.
Okay.
I agree with you. Honestly speaking, in that obviously his behavior is pretty inappropriate, and I'm gonna plant that seed for later. We'll come back to it. My F boy of the week, fully leaning into the archetype, fully allowed now to be a absolute piece of shit, fully aware that Molly is still dazzled by his gormless charm.
Gormless.
It's Vernon for me this week.
Oh, fuck. F-boy of the week.
Vernon is your F-boy of the week. Say more.
Well, we see a lot... he's not a main character of these two episodes necessarily, you know? Not quite as much as he was in the week before. We see him deliberately provoking Nick. I think he is enjoying the rivalry a lot. You know, both up close and from afar, we see him yelling over at him and Molly, "I think your quota's up by now, isn't it?" But I think the reason I want to give him my F-Boy of the Week award is that this week saw an escalation from Vernon when it seems to me that the unmasking of every other guy, including several F-Boys, should be an obvious opportunity for him to actually step back and let the other F-Boys in the picture look worse than him.
Interesting. So you think that he's made the opposite of the boy genius move of the week?
Basically. I was wondering if we should have a segment, although honestly there are a few other contenders for whatever that hypothetical segment might be in this week. But yeah, I just feel like he cannot help himself. His personality is such, as we've been led to believe anyway, that he's a snowball gathering snow as he rolls down the hill, and that even though this would be a great chance for him to say, well, I'm not the only F-boy in Molly's arsenal right now. There's Sean and Ben. Maybe I should have a quiet one and just see what happens when those two are let off the leash. You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. I couldn't disagree more, to the extent that Vernon is my
A-boy of the week.
Wow. Wow. That was unexpected.
Okay. Let me make the case for Vernon.
Talk to
Firstly,
me.
Firstly, look, he's toxic. I know that that is true. I understand that this goes against the premise of the entire segment. He is giving mega Tim Hanley vibes to me.
yeah.
Like a golden goose from Angie Kent's season of The Bachelorette, who then, it is that thing of being a snowball, like just gathering, what did you call it? Gathering snow?
Something like that, yeah.
Rolling downhill, whatever it is, right? He's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He is casting gold, right? Vernon is the most compelling character in this series to the extent that I don't feel endeared to anyone else on this show outside of Vernon. I don't like anyone else. No one else has made me laugh as much as Vernon has. I just think that he, as much as he can't help himself and as much as he is toxic, those are the things that endear me to him as a TV character and as someone who lifts these episodes up. From my perspective, Vernon is the A-boy of the week because he is putting in the work to make this a good TV show by being an incredible villain.
Okay, that's very interesting. Would you like to hear why it's particularly interesting?
Yes.
Can you remind me who your F-boy of the week was?
So my
F-boy of the week
was Benny.
Okay, well, we're in the A-boy of the week segment. I've been trying to pick different ones each time for this segment, right?
Yeah.
You know, which I think is kind of making it harder. Maybe not the boy genius move on the on my part, but I think if I just sat here and said Isaiah every week, it'd be boring. So, yeah, let's see if I can present this argument, because I did, in fact, pick Benny as my A-boy of the week.
Boy of the week.
So we have opposite A and F boys of the week.
We didn't plan this.
This is really good. Tell me more.
Okay, so let me get this out of the way. I think he's pretty toxic as well. Look, Benny, yes, he's very jealous. He's very judgmental. He doesn't shy away from getting in heated disputes with the other men. And in fact, I think he sometimes is looking for that. And I don't like it. I don't like these things about him. However, I do feel quite genuinely that his number one priority is Sophie.
Okay.
I think that he is not required to be friends with the other men, even though I think he's going too far in the other direction. Let me be clear.
Okay.
But I can see him trying with Sophie, even when it is wrongheaded. But what I think the show isn't equipped to deal with, and something that I figured out this week and should have probably been obvious to me earlier, is that Sophie and Benny are friends. And they are not romantic partners, even a little bit. There's no spark between them at all, as far as I can see.
I agree with you on that. I don't think Benny and Sophie are friends. I don't think that Sophie is attracted to Benny. Let me say that to you.
I don't
think that Sophie has friended Benny.
Yeah, but I don't sense that Benny is particularly interested in Sophie either. I think they have, at this point, got an understanding. I don't know necessarily when that understanding came into place, but I think, to me, it's like, that's two friends, they're hanging out, and what puzzles me is that that feels like it's a ticket to 25 grand, you know?
Oh.
I feel, and we're talking about the opposite of the Boy Genius move or whatever, Benny is a nice guy, so if Sophie were to bring him to the end, they would both get a guaranteed even slice of the pie. And I feel like they have made a real friendship. You can sense it. We'll talk more about it later when she says things like, I never want to let you out of my life and that kind of thing. That's real. I genuinely feel like that's the kind of connection that they have. And I think that's great. Seems like if I made a close friend for life on a TV show and also, you know, my other options to get to the end were like fucking Justin and Joshy.
Yeah.
I would be thinking about keeping that guy around, making my peace with not finding a romantic connection and leaving 25 grand richer.
So you think that Sophie's made a bad move by not bringing Benny to the end?
Well, yeah, we'll get to the eliminations, but I think it's annoying. I think it's annoying because I'm like, you really had something there.
Well, see, this is really interesting because this week I have decided to award my
Boy Genius.
Award to Ziara.
Oh, okay.
And it's for similar reasons to the ones that you are outlining here. What I love, and we'll talk about who Ziara chooses at the end of the episode when we get into the boys' club, but Ziara has guaranteed herself $25,000 at the end of this experiment. And that, to me, is thinking precisely with your head in this way. Like, whether or not she has a romantic connection with anyone, notwithstanding, Ziara is the only one of these women to put $25,000 in the bank at the end of this by the time that these two episodes have concluded. She can cash out now. And that, to me, is at least, she is my girl edition Boy Genius of the week.
Yeah, that's very smart. Because we'll talk about it, but what you're talking about is the fact that at the end of these, it's only good guys left for her.
That's right. Yes.
She's the only one to do that. I mean, yes. This should be 101, I think, you know?
Absolutely.
Obviously, it is. I get it's a dating show. They want to end up having a connection. If you're watching the show with that in mind, I think that's fantastic. But I also think, let's be realistic. Well, you know, I don't want to be purely pragmatic and have no idealism about this. I think there's every possibility that a relationship that really works could come out of this. But I don't sense that being the number one priority, necessarily.
I agree.
Or if I was in that position, I don't imagine it would be my number one priority.
Well, this is what we're talking about, right? We're not talking about this being a marriage show. We're talking about it being a dating show. And that being the case, I would say that the prize factors more heavily into the equation, particularly because hanging over the whole thing is if you are an F-boy, you have the autonomy to take all the money.
Right. Let's talk about my Boy Genius smartest move of the week in a segment that we call Boy Genius. I just want to hear the sting again.
Boy Genius.
Do you see that photo shoot Boy Genius did this week where it was like they were wearing three different outfits and one of them was like a Julian Baker outfit and all of them were wearing it and then one of them was like Lucy Dacus and then one of them was Phoebe. It was really good.
It was great.
It's episode 8. Benny and Justin are having a clash at the mixer. We will, I think, talk more about this. But we cut away to Molly and Vernon sitting side by side on what I might have once described as a batchy couch.
Hmm.
Vernon overhears this commotion. He gets up.
I love this so much.
He does a little dance. He goes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. He's really excited to go and fan the flames. And he runs over to get involved.
To support Benny. It's so funny. Benny.
Yeah. My F boy of the week. And then your A boy of the week. And then
no,
he
other
gets
way around.
Oh. Wait. Oh, no, I'm talking about Vernon. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, of course. It's the F boy and the A boy supporting the F boy and the A boy. What a wild fucking week. So then as Vernon gets up, leaving Molly alone on the couch for just a moment, with immaculate timing, nice guy Nick slides in and says, can I see you over there while the drama's going on? And the two of them steal away into a quiet, not particularly well-lit area of the backyard for a quiet smooch.
Now,
love this. That is all it takes to get my boy genius of the week.
It's funny because when we were starting this segment, it's funny because when we were preparing the podcast, I said, is it okay if I have two boy geniuses of the week? Because my girl edition is definitely Ziara for getting that money, right? Securing the bag.
Absolutely.
But Nick was my other choice, right? Yeah. He's my boy edition.
Boy genius.
Undeniable. This is maybe the only like move apart from what Ziara did. Like, this is the only thing I can really look at and go like, this is, you have done a play, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. He has seen an opportunity and he has been so smooth about it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I really love this. I'm glad we're on the same page. Max, I can't believe that we have gone so many episodes. This is our fourth one now.
Yeah.
On this show that takes place on an island in full sunlight.
Yep.
Beautiful hot weather. I can't believe we've gone this far without having a segment for the worst sunburn of the week. I spotted a really fucking bad one this time around, and I will be telling you all about it in a segment we're calling SPF Boy Island.
This is my last song. You've been such a good audience, and thank you so much for being here. If you do know the words to this one, please... please sing along. It makes me feel so good on the inside. This one is called SPF Boy Island. Oh my god, I love this song. Let's say that the sun is shining down on you.
Yeah, let's do it.
What would you do?
That would be so random.
What would you do?
Let's
say that the sun is shining down on you. What would you do? Oh, what would you do? I'll tell you what I would not do. I wouldn't even flinch, 'cause that incandescent bitch is gonna burn out. Ah, it's gonna burn out. Ah. Everybody, let's say that the sun is shining down on you. Just the audience.
What would you do?
What would you do? Let's say that the sun is shining down on you.
You sound beautiful.
Thank you. What would you do? Oh, what would you do?
So that's before 10 p.m. or after?
What's... well after.
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward to seeing my neighbors today.
Max, we have to put out a fucking vinyl record of this episode. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I tell you, I wasn't even sure about the pun. And then I sent it to you and you did that. I can't believe it. Because the thing is, it's SPF Boy Island. You would think that's the last place where the guy who has sunburn would be. But I talked to my friend Susie and she was like, no. They need to go to SPF Boy Island.
Oh.
They need to go from F Boy Island to SPF Boy Island.
I see.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
So who needs to apply the 50 plus?
So if I were the F Boy, who had perhaps most convincingly disguised himself as a nice guy, You know, never really raised any alarm bells aside from maybe a particular pub that I happen to frequent. Not a big deal. I would not rest on my laurels. You know, I would not think I was too strong, too mighty, too brilliant, too smart a man for that big incandescent bitch. That glowing orb of plasma up in the sky, not to strike me down. I would not let my sun protection regime slip or slop or slap.
I tell ya, there were some burnt boys this week.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yes, this is indeed the case with Joshy. And when Sophie has some one-on-one close-up camera time with him in episode 7, in which this is their first time talking after she has learned that he is indeed an F-boy. She never really suspected it, you know? And she's trying to resolve these conflicting impressions, you know, this very positive outlook of him. How does this fit with the revelation he's an F-boy? And he is making about the worst case for himself possible, with a big red blotchy face and torso. And
so funny. Like, he has like a party shirt sunburn tan.
Right, yeah. The open low-necked V, just the buttons undone. He's in a desperate spot, you know, in this competition. He's trying to claw back some credibility. He's trying to be like, listen, it wasn't all lies. I'm a real good guy. It's just that I happened to yada yada. And unfortunately, he looks like he has no idea how to look after himself, let alone a partner.
He sure just looks like he is experiencing sunstroke in that moment. Right. And it can't be convincing when he's like, no, I'm a nice guy, I swear. And he's just like beet red.
Right. And I don't generally doubt his intentions that much, but it's just hard to take this particular part of it seriously when he is struggling this much.
That's right.
And so it's for this reason that I think we need... Did you have another one? Or I assume we both noticed the same.
No. This was my guy. I also thought Justin got a little bit burnt this week. But yeah, Joshy is definitely my...
This is my last song.
We can't do it again. We can't, as much as I want to. We can't do it again. Great. Okay. Here's what's next. I like this stinger so much. I'm using this category again. Didn't think I would. Episode 8's group date requires the cast to dress up in costumes and reveal a little bit more about themselves. And Abby tells us excitedly that this segment will be called, quote, "Show us your kink bits," which of course, in my estimation, is worthy of the Bachelor of Hearts segment that doesn't need a name award for the F-Boy Island segment that didn't need a name.
It's the inaugural Bachelor of Hearts segment that doesn't need a name award for the F-Boy Island segment that also didn't need a name.
Jesus fucking Christ, what did I do to myself?
I like that you recorded that one last week with the "why do I do this to myself?" And then this week you went, what about a 2-minute long song with full multi-tracked audience participation? So the reason, in my opinion, that this segment didn't need a name is that it becomes immediately clear that this is, in fact, a photo shoot group date.
It is a photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
That's right.
Wonderful.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
Perfect.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
Wow.
Episode 8 is time for a...
Well done.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
Oh.
You might dress up like a big pirate, a cowboy, or the devil.
You were close.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
You made it.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
Hello there.
Episode 8 is the time for a...
It's the sky.
Photo shoot group date on F-Boy Island.
See you.
That's right. It's not an honest and frank conversation about individual sexual preferences and turn-ons and fetishes and, you know, we're not, God forbid, learning anything new about the cast or whatever. It's an opportunity to gawk at them as they get new pictures taken for their Instagram grids. I wanted to just go through all of these quickly. I don't want to kink shame anybody, but also let's talk briefly. See Max's face going red again as I say the sentence. Let's talk about these kinks. And by that, of course, I'm talking about the hit 1960s rock and roll band.
Yeah, there are some Waterloo Sunsets. What does that mean?
Unclear. Not sure even what it means in the song. I think it's a place and a time of day. I think it's really talking about that actual thing. All right, number one. I have a problem with this. Caleb and Ziara. And I shouldn't start talking about kinks with I have a problem like with this. But the kink that they are exploring here, if we can call it that, maybe it is. Mm. Again, no judgment, but some judgment. The kink is Army. The kink is the Ben Folds Five song Army.
Ba ba ba.
Ba ba ba. Ba, ba, ba. Would have made more sense to me, I think.
This was crazy. Firstly, because one of the, I'm pretty sure, was it Justin who was in the Navy? In the Navy.
I believe
I don't understand why we decided that militaristic was the way to go.
Yeah, they get dressed up in camo. The explanation they give, for some reason, I like that they felt they needed to explain this, because they're like, this is the first one, and we're talking about kink, okay, is that Caleb is going to fight for Ziara.
What?
It's very strange that this is the first one, because they're like, kink, you know, like, sex, you know, like, and it, to me, it just feels like these two people cannot get off unless there are civilians being killed in drone strikes or whatever, you know?
So funny. So
uncomfortable.
Funny.
Next up, Corey and Ziara, a sexy pilot and his non-pilot wife, who is also sexy. Or I guess assuming wife, I don't know actually, but...
Hard to say.
Sexy pilot and woman.
I think that's correct.
I'm getting Jimmy and Holly flashbacks.
Definitely. This is gross.
Yeah, not a fan. Next. Number three, Isaiah and Ziara, angel and devil.
Okay.
I'm fine with this little biblical kink, you know?
If you want to get old Genesis on us, mm-hmm. That's all right. I'll call Phil Collins.
Yeah, exactly. God bless Isaiah, though, because he really can't sell the embodiment of pure evil.
Devil bless Isaiah, then.
Devil bless him, yes. I'm not feeling Baphomet. I'm not feeling Beelzebub. he's just a little guy. Next up, Joshy and Sophie. And the kink is pool. Being at the pool.
Yep.
My kink is when a very conventionally hot blonde woman wears a bikini. I will say this scene was genuinely hot. I thought this was probably, like, you know, even Joshy's sunburn, which we've talked about a lot, feels like a costume choice rather than just an unfortunate mistake.
That's right. Yeah, she definitely is leaning into, and in fact leaning on, his sunburn.
That's true. Maybe she's trying to cover him up.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on there. And then she says this immortal line. And I'd like to ask you the question, hot or not, Xavi.
Oh, boy.
My Jiny's on you.
Yeah, I did. Look, here's the thing, and I mean this quite sincerely. There are lots and lots of, like, acceptable slang terms for male for penises and balls and such.
Hog, wiener,
doinker,
drumstick,
potato. I'm making some up now. Yeah. There are almost none for the vagina, the vulva, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does suck. Like, you know, it feels like Sophie is probably been told she can't say the word pussy, I'm guessing. I don't know actually what the broadcast standards are for streaming.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But outside of that, I genuinely don't really know what the options are. So I applaud her for, thinking outside the box.
girl, hog, hole, inverted wiener.
Yeah. baked
potato.
Oh, we still get listeners every week, even though this happens.
My baked potato is on you.
I could tell that they were both really into it, like genuinely. And I think that shone through more on this one than basically any of the others. So I'm giving them top marks. Next up, Justin and Sophie. And this is like what you probably, the top Google image result for kink, you know, it's like chains and leather. So on that level, I'm like, now we're talking. Unfortunately, even before the shit came out about Justin, I was just looking at this, like, so Justin does a lot of this modeling. He does a lot of performing, presumably in quite similar attire, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the impression I got was that, like, it doesn't really feel like experimentation for him. Like, he's comfortable, which is great, but it doesn't feel super special, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing there that is, like, luminous in the way that you might think that this kink would be, like, really, I don't know, evocative or boundary pushing for television.
Yeah, and I don't get the impression that he's particularly into it. I don't, like, there's no correlation between these kinks and what the people involved in the photo shoots are actually into, I don't think.
Right, exactly. It feels like a missed opportunity in that way.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, they're limited by whatever costumes they bothered to pack into the trunk, I guess.
Right, right.
But yeah, for Justin, at least, this feels like just another day at the office. The sex office.
Sex office. Not the sex office that Molly's ex was caught in.
No, that's true.
I should be
and
clear.
Not
yeah.
the new Australian reboot of the sex office that is coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sex Jim and Sex Pam are going to really have a good time.
Yeah. So then we got Benny and Sophie, and this is kind of a pillar of my, they're just friends argument. Cause they're wearing the fucking cheapest Party City pirate costume. It's absolutely awful. And they just can't stop chuckling throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're uncomfortable being in even a, facsimile of a sexualized scenario with each other, I think. Even Justin, who's watching on from the side for some fucking reason, observes that they just look like friends.
They do.
They do. I think that's true. Number
There's
seven, we got Nick and Molly. We got cowboy and cowgirl. Not bad. I like Molly's boots. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I thought this was okay. I thought that Nick was very timid.
Yes. And Nick, I think, is, if anything, becoming more timid. As
yeah, it's so bizarre, isn't it? I think that there's a scene where Molly desperately wants Nick to kiss her, and it takes a lot of, I don't know, cajoling for that to happen. And for me, at least, it just sort of feels like there's a bit of like pussyfooting around from Nick that I just wish.
Please,
I think that
giny footing.
Yeah, I think Nick is giny footing around.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know.
I think this
could be his. This competition could be his to win.
Yeah.
And he's fucking it up.
Nick's doing what I think Vernon should have done this week. And I think he's maybe doing it in reaction, you know, to create a contrast between him and the F boys. He's like, I'm going to retreat into my shell as much as possible just to make it clear that I am not actively causing harm. But we're losing a little bit of him in the process, I think.
I agree.
Up next is Vernon and Molly. Playboy Bunny and also Vernon wearing a robe is what I've characterized this as.
He was so funny in this scene, I thought. I don't think that this does anything for kink. I don't think it ticks any kink boxes. Am I right?
I mean, look, Playboy is about as vanilla as a sexual thing goes. Although, you know.
That's true.
The iconography is at least sexual in the way that like military isn't strictly, you know.
I guess that's true. Like for me, it's like this Playboy was founded as like a male fantasy escapist thing where it was all about, you know, like leave your wife and live the life of a bachelor. And so I suppose it's suited to Vernon in
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too, because it's not obviously they're not infringing on trademark, they're not doing actual Playboy or whatever, but it does obviously draw that comparison. And like, if you think about it for too long, you're like, oh yeah, Hugh Hefner, an extremely fucked up dude who like sexually abused countless women for decades.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But then I'm also like, oh, maybe that makes Vernon look kind of good in comparison.
Yeah, the symbolism is all over the place on this one.
Yeah, not sure about it, but it could be a lot worse. And it gets a lot worse in my least favorite. The final one is Sean and Molly cops.
What?
This is the worst one, right? This shit sucks.
It's just so bad. I don't understand why we needed to do this. I don't understand who has a cops and robbers kink.
Well, not even cops and robbers, because that might... I don't know. That might be something, because there's at least some like power play or something that you could be tapping into. They're both cops, which just... I don't know. It's like... maybe it's my limited imagination. I don't know what the scenario necessarily is that spins out of that, but just like, if you think cops are cool and sexy and it's the year 2023, you're a fucking dipshit. I'm sorry to say it. You know?
Go watch an episode of The Bill or something and jack off.
Yeah. I do like that this segment, you know, the tone of this moment is focused on Molly's suspicions about Sean. You know, we've learned that he's been on reality TV before and he's been a bit jealous towards the other men. So in this moment, being a cop is just the shitty icing on the shitty cake.
Did you catch this about Sean when he was revealed as an F-boy? They showed some of this footage from his audition tape to get on the show.
Yeah.
And he said, the thing about pretty girls is that they often know that they're pretty, and so that they just need to be taken down a peg.
Yikes!
So gross.
Not
so
crazy
disgusting.
About that.
No, and look, maybe the power dynamic between that and Sean performatively being a cop, maybe it has some parallels.
Yeah, interesting. Sean was also like my honorable mention for F-boy this week. The other thing that he did was he called Molly Holly. point, which is just really funny to be as jealous and imposing as he gets on these episodes without actually remembering the name of the woman that he's worried about, you know?
Exactly. Like, tell me that you see women as property without telling me that you see women as property.
Right, exactly. Look, that's it for those kinks. Did you like the kinks?
Oh, it was really, what's another Kinks song?
There's so many. All Day and All Night, Victoria. Yeah.
That's right. I was really, they really raised my Davey. No, I've got nothing here.
Yeah, that works.
Great. That's
all right.
My kink.
Speaking of men. Raising things or something, speaking of trying to find a segue... let's talk about the boy that was just floating on by this week in a segment that we like to call
Boy of the Week. Why is it like that? That one's dumb.
It is a little, isn't it?
Compared to all the others, that one in particular is dumb.
Look, sometimes that's all it takes.
Hey, who's floating on by this week?
Yeah, so I feel like this segment is running out of runway a little bit just because, like, at this point, everyone's pretty much a main character at this point, you know?
Yeah.
However, I do think I have to give it to Joshy.
Oh, okay.
Not just because he survives a couple of eliminations in spite of being a known F-boy, which I think is not nothing. But also because in episode 8, he and Sophie go snorkeling. Literally floating on top of the water, you know?
Well... isn't that convenient for you to have spotted that and seen an opportunity to have a good recipient for this award? Because mine is Ben.
Oh, okay. Talk to me about that. All of the many various things that you know about Ben.
Well, so Ben got eliminated.
Uh-huh. So that's, yep.
Boy of the Week.
Really good.
Thanks.
Another essential segment of the podcast. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of things the show could improve. I might get on my soapbox a little bit here in a segment that we call F Only.
F Only.
Moo.
Yeah, that one does feel like it needs it a little. Thank you for the ad lib. In episode 7, we have a group date where the men must answer a question, and if their answer isn't satisfying, they get dunked into a big tank of water. They're out on the beach. It's a beautiful, sunny, hot day, and you can see the men are sweating a little bit, and one of them's starting to get a sunburn. Sort of undercuts the risk of the situation a little bit, if you ask me.
The stakes are extremely low.
Right. I almost feel like this is a reward, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We want to make them cold, like do an ice bath or something. And, oh, but even then, it's a hot day. I don't know. What's the... Maybe we dunk them in lava.
Yeah. Dunk them directly onto cement, you know?
Yeah.
We watch Caleb get dunked. We watch Vernon get dunked. We watch secret girlfriend Clay get dunked. We watch Justin get dunked. It's mostly F-boys. And it's like soon after the reveal, I feel like this is how they're kind of getting it out of their system. Feels like nothing to me, though, you know? Could we think of nothing more humiliating than this?
I know, and that was the thing for me where it was like, oh, we're like enacting petty revenge on these boys who have tricked us, but it doesn't feel sufficiently like if you're going to get revenge or if you're going to get your anger out about this. Like, make it mean something. This was all nothing.
I agree. Also on this date, Caleb refers to the show as a game, which in the world of The Bachelor is a huge hardline no-no. It just absolutely will send things spinning off their axis. To me, it feels like it should be a little bit more acceptable on this show.
Yeah, but to the women, I don't know that it is.
No, they take it hard. Ziara in particular, who is affiliated with Caleb, takes it quite personally. She tells him that he's going to have to prove that he's a good person to her all over again. And so Caleb insists he really likes her and that they look good together. And he begs her for forgiveness. And she finds this cute and says, "I appreciate your apology," to which he pouts, "I appreciate you even more."
Oh my God. He just, the manipulative language that he uses with Ziara in particular is mighty in this. The thing that I picked up on was he kept being like, "You know we do. You know it's true. Mm. You know that," like that kind of language to me is like you're making her question herself. She's
right,
telling you how she feels
that.
And I am telling you that you secretly believe that even you are wrong.
Mm.
I hated that.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that. And that drew into sharp focus for me what I guess is my overall F only for this week, which is like the show changing from being about can these women sniff out which of these men are full of shit to can these women like do the emotional heavy lifting to convince these full of shit men to be somewhat less shitty in future. That's a less interesting offer to me, you know?
It's a way less interesting offer. It's a shame. It's a mega shame because this show has been really, really good and the twist was fantastic.
Right.
But you can tell that they are working on the fly here to make this work. And unfortunately for me, where they have landed is a bit of a miss because of the circumstances that these F-boys, who are not to be trusted, have gotten them into.
Yeah, and it's just, I was really hoping that they could capitalize on this a little bit better than they did this week. But I think that, you know, as we talked about earlier, the fact that the F-boy nice guy dichotomy is exclusively judged by whether they entered the show with the intent on splitting the money or walking away with it. Just makes the F-boy nice guy thing less meaningful, you know?
And it makes it less real, yeah.
And I found myself connecting with the leads a bit less this time around as well because they seem to be putting more weight on that than I would, you know, like the fact that, for example, Corey is surprisingly a nice guy. We learned Corey, after all this, he's defined as a nice guy, even though he lied about his age. He maybe is still lying about his age. He hid his history of being an actor because he didn't think it would look good. So instead of focusing on what their actual experiences with these men have been, it feels like the women are instead giving a little too much attention to which class they're in, or, you know, whether or not
right.
a decision they made several weeks ago has somehow become a bigger priority or a bigger attribute for them to consider than anything else.
Yeah, it's the ultimate get out of jail free card for these men who have been behaving poorly. Is like, I entered as a man who was going to not intending to take the money and run, and therefore I must be a nice guy, and therefore you have to place extra emotional weight on that when you're making your decision about whether or not to keep me around.
Yeah. Did you have F only this week?
For me, it all comes down to the format, right? Mm-hmm. This is all... these are all choices that, as I said, have been made on the fly that are questions of circumstance. And right. to be honest with you, I just kind of think, like, they didn't cook it, but this was undercooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I would have done differently. I don't necessarily
that's
know.
That's kind of it, right? Like, I think they chose the best... I think they made the best choice available to them given the circumstances. Mm. It's just unfortunate that that choice was not a particularly, like, didn't result in particularly compelling TV.
Yeah. And also, I think there's room for it to keep growing throughout the last couple of episodes. They haven't like, you know, salted the earth behind them or anything. It's just kind of...
No.
Yeah, we had a week where it was not quite as special, I think.
Didn't quite hit,
which is a shame because we love hits. And the best way to go and hear all the latest hits... is that true? I don't know. Segways are tough. We should get medals, I think, for some of the work we do on this podcast. Anyway, let's talk about who's in and who's out in the boys' club.
Who's in and who's out?
Oh, what are you doing here?
It's the boys' club.
Good to see you, mate.
Sort of the beginning of your background chat era in the themes, you know?
Thank you so much. I did realize that more of me is better. So that is something that I'm looking to continue throughout the podcast.
You know what you could do is maybe next week, we got a big finale episode coming up.
Yeah.
What if we had two Maxes? Like, I'll still be there, but you could double track yourself and just be like, that's interesting, Max. That's very clever.
Maybe I will do that. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Sort of a live studio of one, a live studio audience of one, and it's also already just you. Yeah. Sounds good. Everyone, please share that episode when it comes out. New listeners will love it. They won't be confused. Do people think our voices sound the same? I know sometimes that's a feedback podcasts get.
I don't know.
I don't
feel
think
like
we do, really.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a big stupid boy, you see? And I sound like...
Yeah. Nailed it. All right. Speaking of big stupid boys, that's a good segue. We can use that any fucking time we like when we're talking about these shows. In episode 7, Molly's bottom two are Sean and Ben. Two F-boys who are up for elimination because their names are not Nick or Vernon. That's about it. Sean uses this moment. You know, they get the little moment to, like, beg for mercy.
Yeah.
Sean takes this chance to slut shame Molly for kissing Vernon and Nick in a public space, and I guess not kissing Sean in a public space. To which Molly says, you know you're trying to stay, right? Which I thought
it's a great
was
line.
Like, excellent.
Yeah.
Sophie then picks her bottom two, the two worst men in her pool of suitors, which, as we know, her pool includes two nice guys and two F-boys.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see who she chooses. And as the words left Sophie's lips, I knew that I had found my winner for the WTF Boy Island moment of the week.
WTF Boy of the Week.
No. Because her bottom two is Clay and Clay.
I really liked this. I thought this was a great play.
Adored it. It was a great play. It's a rule break, I guess. Or, you know,
definitely.
According to the Excel spreadsheet that I've started keeping this week, I didn't quite know how to deal with this. No, none of the rules. That's in a separate Word document. just of who's in the bottom two every week and that
right.
sort of thing. But also I love this because it's like, yeah, the rules don't fucking matter. This doesn't matter. Who cares? We're just having fun here, right? You know?
Yeah, yeah. We are getting rid of Clay no matter what. And Sophie really took exception to him having a secret girlfriend for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. I also love, this is probably some shade from the editors. I can't imagine this is exactly how it went down, but they ask him, has he learned anything from this experience, from being on the show? And he says, yeah, for sure. I need to up my social media game.
Oh my God.
Why would that be what you learned?
I don't know. I just, okay, so I want to find out how, okay, so he has 70,000 YouTube followers.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. It's not nothing.
What does he do on that? Is he a vlogger?
Okay. Oh my God. He says, so the video that he released 1 month ago is how I built the dream life I've always wanted. Cars, girls, and YouTube.
Oh boy. Okay.
He sucks. Yeah. Okay, so his pictures are all cars.
Great.
Various kinds of cars with, like, you know, the wing on the back?
Yes, I do. I've built a lot of those in the new Zelda game.
Yeah, exactly that. Okay, so he's a car guy.
All right, he's a car guy. This is a genre of YouTube I'm not very familiar with, but I know it exists.
Yep, yep, okay. Everything that he does is cars.
Well, he has his good luck streak. His streak of good luck is had to break this week. Break car.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This is so good.
Go on.
Okay. So I'm in this video that is how I built the dream life I've always wanted, cars, girls, and YouTube. And so he says, today we reveal the process and journey of how I managed to build the life I've always wanted.
Can I just every say, day, is it fucking isogenics?
It, honestly, we're not far off, okay?
Okay, go for it.
Every day I wake up having to pinch myself knowing this is now my reality. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank each and every one of you who has supported me throughout the past 4 years on YouTube.
Ah.
Enter my insane $8 pet patrol giveaway.
Wait,
have you ever wanted a car that could literally do it all? Well, this is your opportunity to drive away in my one-of-a-kind turbocharged RB30 Nissan Patrol 4x4, a vehicle that cruises comfortably on the highway during the day and destroys the bush on the weekend and shines like a diamond at a car show.
It destroys the bush?
That's what it says.
Bad.
That's psycho.
I mean, look, emissions from cars, that's not great.
No.
But you don't want it to be a feature that you advertise.
Okay, so this, I can't believe this. In my $8 patrol giveaway, should we enter the $8? No, never mind.
$8 Paw Patrol giveaway?
Yeah, I think we can get it for cheaper than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're playing on TV at almost every hour of the day.
It's true.
Have you seen the Paw Patrol movie?
No, I have not.
Okay. I'm just checking. We talk about movies sometimes on this show. Could be one for us to check out together. Anyway.
Great.
That's probably the last we'll say about Clay, right?
He's gone.
Yeah. Ziara's bottom two are Caleb, her only remaining F-boy. Smart. Boy genius, some might say. And Josh, who, again, was the bad drummer last week. I really, truly have nothing else to say about Josh. And I'm not super sure why, but it is farewell to Josh, who is a nice guy. Strange.
Very weird. So
strange
the only thing
this?
That we learn about Josh on this show, God, on this entire show, is that he likes the reverse cowgirl sex position.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I think that Because that's what happened when he was on the dunk tank, right? Is he sort of volunteered this information. And I think rather than... This is an interesting play. This I would definitely call this a move.
Okay.
But what he was trying to do, which was to be like, think of me in a sexual way or something, backfired because it made them realize he was still there.
Right, exactly. They were like, oh, who are you?
Yeah, they were
and
like...
why are you interested in doing that to me?
I remember you, yeah. Which is a fatal flaw that a lot of people make on this show. Sometimes you just want to chameleon, you know, like hide in the background.
You want to boy island it.
Right. But that's enough for Josh. It's also farewell to Ben and Clay. So Caleb and Sean, both F-boys, both up for elimination on episode 7. Both just got through it. Despite that outburst from Sean. Or was that in episode 8? I can't remember now.
No. That was the end of episode 7.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Because in episode 8, we have a top 2 instead of a bottom 2 out of the remaining
that's
3
right.
guys. Not really sure exactly why, but that means that we can skip straight to the farewells. And Sean doesn't even try and make a case for himself.
Yeah, he just recuses himself. He's like, I have a conflict of interest.
Right.
And that conflict of interest is... I don't think I will win.
Yeah, I think he sees the writing on the wall. I think this is the most diplomatic thing that he could have done. It's a decent way to salvage the impression that viewers are left with of him, I think.
I think so too. Yeah,
I mean, it's like, not all forgiven, good. But like, if you have to go out, this might as well be the way to do it. He like,
it's graceful.
Everyone for
yeah.
their time and, you know, yeah. Sophie ditches Benny.
Yeah.
And she cries as she does it, and he gets teary-eyed as well. I found it hard to watch, both because it's a little bit emotional, but also because it's just a bit silly.
Well, that was the thing that I was struck by. I thought that this was silly. I didn't understand why that they would have a connection, and I don't know that I believe the theory, the friends theory. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she liked him, and I don't understand that.
Hmm. I'd be curious to hear 6 months from now.
If they're still friends?
If they're still friends, what she has to say about him and everyone, and, you know, once the yeah. contracts are up and that kind of thing. I mean, I'm always curious about that stuff. That's basically like saying, I like breathing air. yeah. I do think, like, I sense that they're friends. I believe it when she says she wants to have him in her life forever. But I also think like the best way to guarantee that is to just score each other 25 grand. You know what I mean? Like if that's...
Yeah, fucking A.
So that means that if that's not the case, well, you know, that means that whatever her relationship is with either Joshy or Justin, I mean, presumably Joshy at this point, it must be something, you know? She must really be investing in that.
I think that she likes Joshy, and I think that Joshy is the presumptive favorite.
Yeah, I think so too. Caleb has the following impassioned plea to Ziara. I know I came here an F-boy, but I'm changing, and this is real. And if you want me, I'll come to you. We grow together. We love on one another. And that's all I want from you, Z. You shine, my love, shine. And then he adds,
it's so stupid.
He adds, you're welcome.
He just like, he ran out of steam. He did such a good job of manipulating for such a long time.
Yeah.
And finally he was like, oh, my goose is cooked. There is nothing that I can do here to redeem myself. And he just really did word salad.
It is a little manipulative, though. You can sense he's trying to... Because, like, he's saying, if you want me, I'll come to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want from you, Z. Like, it is still, like, very much about what he wants rather than what she wants, I think.
Definitely.
The you're welcome. I don't know if that's tacked on.
You're welcome is so funny.
And maybe he's genuinely saying, like, I will be a welcoming partner to you or whatever, you know? But it... It doesn't come off that way. It's really funny.
That's very generous of you, Xavi.
I always try and find the silver lining. But it is not enough for Caleb. Sadly, it seems he must ain't got no good dick.
Oh, yeah.
He must ain't got no good potato.
That's the... That's the only reason that Caleb is being sent home, is that his right. potato is in question.
Yeah. That's it. Next week is our Finale Boy Island.
I want to talk about one thing before we go to the Finale Boy Island.
Yeah, what is
And that it? Is what Nick said in this elimination.
Did I miss something Nick said? What did he say?
He calls himself Molly's Cuddle Bear.
Oh, well, this is his nickname. This has been established, along with Big Dick Nick. I don't know if we've talked about it on the pod.
We haven't talked about either of those things, but that he is willing to go along, I just found it so cringe. Like, that is what gave me the absolute ick for Nick.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is a pejorative nickname that's been given to him by the other men, and he's like, maybe it's my brand, you know?
Oh, my God. Just do better. Anyway, I had that saved up, and I thought, it doesn't fit any of our categories, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned it. So there's going to be two episodes that are going to drop on Monday. It's very soon, and I'm excited about it. I feel like we know who wins.
Yeah, I think so too. Can we just go on the record and say that it's Joshy, Nick, and who's the other one?
I disagree. For me, it is Joshy, Isaiah, and Vernon.
Oh, you think Vernon's going to win? I think Vernon wins.
I think Vernon's... So here's how I got to that. Firstly, just watching all these episodes and thinking about it. Secondly, I think one of them has to get fucked over. I think Vernon will fuck her over.
Interesting. I think Vernon will fuck someone.
Well, he's gotten close. Also, there is the lingering possibility that has been hinted at that there may be a fuck week situation.
Oh,
The women have been asked. I think Abby has also been asked. And all of them have been like, you have to wait and see.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which may as well be a yes or a no.
Yeah. I think that that would be interesting. I'm looking forward to what happens next week on the island. Wait, did we finish our winner picks? Who was the other person? Isaiah?
Isaiah, I'm Joshy, gonna say Nick. And Vernon are my three.
Yeah, okay. So the only point that we disagree on is that I think my A-boy of the week is going to lose.
Right. You think it'll be Isaiah, Joshy, and Nick.
That's right.
Okay. That's the one that I'm least sure about. And I'm most interested in, I suppose. Like, that'll,
me too.
I assume that'll be what a lot of the dramatic hook of the finale will be.
Yeah. Is she going to get fucked over?
Yeah. And will... Well, question one, will she go with her, like, you know, think with her brain or her heart, this thing that always kind of comes down to whatever? Will she go nice guy or F-boy? And then assuming it's an a nice guy, which way will it go?
It will be so much more interesting if she chooses Vernon, and I really hope that she does.
Yes, I agree. And also, it will be interesting to see if we get a bunch of new info about where these couples are sitting now. I don't know how long ago this was shot.
Me neither.
I spoke to the F-Boy Island Australia social media person or whoever runs their Instagram account.
Uh-huh.
Don't know who it is. I just asked if there's anything after episode 10. Is there like a cast reunion? Is there anything planned? They said, no, nothing planned. So we will have all the info next time we talk to you for our Finale Boy Island episode. I cannot wait.
Me neither. Xavi.
Maxie, what can the listeners do in the meantime to keep abreast of what's going on at BOHHQ?
Should you like to keep abreast of what's happening at BOHHQ, you got to find us on social media at BOHPOD, P-O-D. BOHPOD is where you can go to find all the latest news on Xavi, Max, and all the rest.
That band,
as well
P-O-D.
As that. Yeah, yeah, the great Christian metalcore band P-O-D. Mm-hmm. And... all the cast of characters who we love here on the various shows. Here's the other thing that you can do. The Bachelor of Hearts Osh Posting Group on Facebook. That is where we post about things going on and you post about other things that you've noticed. It's good.
That's where you guys post compliments, favorite moments,
highlights.
Which one of the hosts is handsomer? I can't choose. You know,
it's
that
so
kind
hard
of...
to say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of those things that are like, what are our addresses?
Everyone tries to guess our addresses.
Yeah, yeah. So far, no one's gotten it, but they have gotten close.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a three in there, but where, you know? yeah, so come on down. Thank you again for joining us. What else is there to say? Not very much, I think. Thanks
Listener.
Oh, I got one. I need to do this here. We're very close to the end. I went to trivia this week.
Okay.
At the Golden Age Cinema and Bar. And we booked a table with my name Xavier RN on it, and somebody had written on the table reservation sign, Xavier RN, love you, you are amazing.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I don't know who it was. And I asked all of the people at trivia who I thought it could possibly be, and it was not any of those people. So was it you, listener?
Question. Yeah, mark. Listener, if you are following Xavier around town, get in touch with us.
Yeah. Restraining order notwithstanding. that was very sweet. That's it. I don't know. I'm just hunting for clues, man. I
got
a podcast.
We just
got to
get to the bottom
of
this mystery.
Yeah, I got to find out what's going on. I don't know.
All right. Well, look, until we speak next time. It was not me.
Okay. Why not?
Until we speak next time, listener. We're going to work hard on solving this mystery.
Yeah.
And we love you.
We love you, listeners. You're amazing.
Goodbye.
Running out of time. Make the most of what's before me. Searching for a sign to lead me to the end of the road. I know we found love. Following my heart so blindly. Hoping that this path will lead me to the end of the road. My ears from the first moment you went to